In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God is in control of everything that is seen and unseen. Yet the result of the demon's seduction in Eden is that the race of Adam is totally enslaved to Satan through sin. Right? This is how he uses sin against us. We have allowed sin to have mastery over us, for it to dominate us and to enslave us. The only way out of this slavery is through divine intervention. We cannot do it ourselves, no matter how strong we think we are. Christ has defeated the devil on our behalf on the cross, and he liberates us from Satan by the forgiveness of sins, creating faith in us through his word. Our Lutheran fathers confessed this. This is the Augsburg Confession. The Augsburg Confession, by the way, which the Roman Church, in a strange turn of events after 500 years, looks like they're about to accept as a valid expression of the Christian faith and religion. Right? We could have told them that. In fact, we did many times. They just didn't listen. The Augsburg Confession says, human nature is enslaved and held captive by the devil, who deceives it with ungodly opinions and errors and incites it to all sorts of sins. However, just as the devil is not conquered without Christ's help, so we, by our own powers, are unable to free ourselves from that slavery. World history itself shows how great is the strength of the devil's rule. Blasphemy and wicked teachings fill the world, and in these bonds, the devil holds enthralled those who are wise and righteous in the eyes of the world. And again, experience proves that hypocrites who try to keep the law by their own strength cannot accomplish what they set out to achieve. For human nature is far too weak to resist the devil by its own strength. He holds everyone captive who has not been set free through faith. Against the devil, the power of Christ is needed. That is because we know that on account of Christ, we have the promise and we are heard. We pray for the Holy Spirit to govern and to defend us so that we may neither be deceived and thus err nor be driven to undertake anything against God's will. And so Psalm 68 teaches, you ascended the high mount, leading captives in your train and receiving gifts from men. For Christ conquered the devil and gave us his promise and the Holy Spirit so that with God's help, we too might conquer. And in 1 John, the Son of God was revealed for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. That's what our Lutheran confessions say. My brothers and sisters, this is exactly why the Canaanite woman has come to Christ. She's seeking help for herself and for her daughter against powers that she has no way to defeat. The devil has taken her captive. Now, this was particularly a problem in Tyre and Sidon, which is way up north. Right? Canaanite religion for at least 2,000 years at this point, at least, had practiced a religion that called on the gods, right, the demons, in some of the most horrible ways imaginable. I mean, so horrible, so defiling, that God, after giving the Canaanites time to repent, says, they've got to go. They've got to go. Right? They are actually defiling and tainting the land. And the Israelites are told to utterly wipe their clans out through Joshua. Which, of course, they don't do because they're disobedient. But this type of paganism that this young girl is in bondage to was a relationship, not a religion. And so when the demons are summoned to this girl, they do not leave her alone, but they rather torment and defile the image of God that she bears. Now, this mother is doing exactly what a good mother ought to do. She has come to and is praying to Christ for the Holy Spirit, so that she and her daughter would be governed and defended by him and no longer enslaved to these false gods and demons. This woman's prayer is good and it is God-pleasing. Right? She, right off the bat, confesses that he is the Christ. And she asks him for spiritual help, because this is a spiritual matter. Right? We, largely in our culture today, don't believe in such things anymore, which is to our discredit. This is a spiritual matter. And she comes to Christ, and I'm sure you notice this. What does Christ do? He doesn't answer. Does not answer. This was not, as it seemed, and maybe seems to us today, a refusal. Now, you see, we, in addition to our disbelief in all things spiritual, all of the unseen of the creed, right, we are not accustomed to rigorous pursuit, maybe anymore. Right? We're not accustomed to endurance and bearing the cross, to use St. Paul's language. Right? We are rather accustomed to having things delivered to our home. Anyone guilty of that? Me too, right? Right? We are rather accustomed to having our things right away, right now. My brothers and sisters, the Christian religion is not this way. It is not. It teaches, and it forms, and it trains. Because the Lord here in the gospel for today is teaching this woman. He is teaching her to trust his word. And by God, she did. She trusted in the words and she clung to the promises of Christ, which never ever fail. Because of this, she's able to ignore what she experienced. Right? Experience can't be trusted. Simply can't. Because our experiences might very well lead us to believe that we have no chance against the devil, that the devil cannot be beaten, that we'll be forever enslaved, always destined to sin after sin after sin, and never get out of it, that we cannot resist, ever, and that there's no hope because of it to be had. Right? Our experience, beloved of Christ, must be subjected to the Holy Scripture. It must. It must be subjugated to the Word of God, Jesus Christ, to the eternal Logos, the divine principle of the universe, who orders and holds all things together by his word. And praise be to God, this Canaanite woman does exactly this. Right? She clings to Christ's word. And as I focused on Wednesday, she internalized it. Right? She took the word of God into her heart. And because she has done that, she keeps crying out, keeps on beseeching the Lord. She does not give up. She clings to Christ. May the Holy Spirit direct us to such piety and endurance. Now, the disciples, for their incredibly lame part in all of this, become embarrassed by this woman constantly crying out to Christ. Now, this embarrassment may have been because of all the attention that this woman was drawing to them, and they were modest and humble, and they didn't want all of the attention, right? But you kind of get the sense from the sacred text that they're embarrassed because of what this looks like to the rest of the world. That they're embarrassed of what Christ says to her. And they ask the Lord to send her away, to which he says, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And when he says this in this Gentile woman's hearing, now she must fight with her own reason. Right, this place that you and I have been before, most certainly. Because reason would interpret these words to mean that Christ was not sent to her. That Christ has nothing to do with this Gentile woman. And yet again, she clings to the word of God. She brings the word of God to bear because she knows what the holy prophet says. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that you did not know shall run to you because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. That's what the holy prophet has said. Reason in this cannot be trusted. Even experience cannot be trusted. This woman humbles herself down before the word of God. She clings to the promise that's beyond both her own understanding and her own ability to interpret the scripture. The Holy One of Israel, the Son of David, has come for the Gentiles in some way. And she knows it. And she's not letting go of that promise. And he has beckoned her even to run to him. She needs his help. Because she cannot conquer these demons without him. She can't. And so she does not give up, just like St. Monica praying over and over and over to Christ for her son, St. Augustine. She persists. She begs. She pleads with Christ. Now, I want to pause here and just say that it's not all that difficult for us today, in hindsight, to understand what the Lord is saying here. Right? You know, hindsight is 20/20, they say. The fact is the Lord didn't himself go to the Gentiles, not in mass, right? He did not go to the nations as a whole. Right? It's after the resurrection that he sends his apostles to the Gentiles, sends them out to the nations, right? First to the Jew and then to the Greek, to the Gentile, the nation. So what he said to her was not false, but he meant it to sound false, to temper her endurance. Christ is putting her through the refiner's fire on purpose. And he's not deceiving her. And it's not his intent that she give up, that she run away. Rather, just as he does with us, he knows what is good for her. He knows what she needs individually as a person. Right? Throughout this whole encounter, he is in his mercy, exercising her faith, making it stronger, giving it what it needs to endure. And may God afford us the same mercy in this life if we're ever in danger of leaving the way, if we're ever in danger of losing our salvation. May God do the exact same to us. That by whatever means, no matter what the cost, he bring us back. Finally, she falls down in front of him and begs him for his help. He says, it's not right to give the children's bread to the dogs. And don't let this crucial detail pass by you. In her humility, from up north practicing paganism, communing with demons. In her humility and expectation and in her faith, she accepts this judgment. She does. She accepts the Lord's words. Faith is always, in a sense, miraculous. But this is astonishing. It's unbelievable. Even after all she's been through with him, and with a daughter who is in immense, immense danger, and needs the help that only he, standing there in the far north country, can provide. Even after all of this, she doesn't protest. She doesn't rebuke him. She simply recalls the Lord's promises to her. She recalls what he said through the prophets. Same one standing there right before her, spoken through the prophets. She simply repeats his words. She doesn't want the children's bread, you see. Right? She's not after their bread. This woman is seeking only the crumbs that fall from the table. You see, she's after his bread. Just the scraps that fall from his bread. Because she knows that even that is more than enough. All the eyes look unto you, O Lord, and you give them their fill in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living creature. Christ feeds the mighty sea creatures. He feeds even the sparrow in the field, as well as the children of Israel, as well as the Gentiles. This is who he is. At last, when her faith is built up, Christ relents. And he praises her for her faith, praises her for her trust in his word, the likes of which are only recorded two times in the sacred text. The Roman Gentile centurion's faith, whose words to the Lord I pray every Lord's Supper, right? Lord, I'm not worthy for you to enter under my roof, but only say the word, and your servant shall be made well. And then this Canaanite Syrophoenician woman, a Gentile, who trusts in the Lord. Her daughter is healed of the demons. The bondage, the rights that they had, are abolished. This account that's given to us in the Holy Gospel, it ought to warn us of the danger and the reality of demons. We ought to pray, deliver us from evil with a renewed sense of zeal and fervor and force. And especially us who live in a culture where it seems these creatures are so easily against us at every turn, with its luxuries, with its false doctrines everywhere. But this account also ought to show us something of the character and of the persistence of prayer and what it looks like to approach the Lord in humility and to not let go of God's word and promise. Because ultimately, this woman is praised for it. She is praised ultimately for her faith. She trusts God to be good, to do what he said he would do in his word. And I think all of the world's problems would be solved if each one of us could just do that. She believes that he'll keep his promise and that he will deliver her from evil and her daughter as well. And she will not be convinced otherwise, despite appearances, despite reason, despite even her own experience. She trusts the word. She knows she can't overcome these demons on her own. But she also knows that Christ is the Messiah, the promised Son of David, and that he's come for exactly this purpose. You, beloved of Christ, who are seeking the liberating waters of holy baptism, note this woman's piety. Christopher, note this woman's faithfulness. Note her tenacity. Note her endurance. And do it well. And may the Son of David in his mercy give us all such solid, enduring, immovable faith that we cling to and that we internalize God's word and not lose hope, no matter what comes our way in this life. In Jesus' name.